George Bush doesn't care about black people.
She killed me, mom.
I ain't saying he's a go-to.
I'm in need.
But he ain't messing with no broke niggas.
She killed me, mom.
I ain't saying he a go-to.
I'm in need.
But he ain't messing with no broke niggas.
I got him.
George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black
people. Welcome back.
George Bush don't like black people.
To the Liberal Patriot Podcast.
George Bush don't like black people.
Hurricane came through, fucked us up around here. Government.
My name is John Easton, and I think it's... And I'm here with Will Cowie.
Yeah, good to be back.
Who cares what I think? I think it's a good idea to not forget about the fact that people in Louisiana are still shit out of luck, as they say.
Yep.
5 days in this motherfucking attic. Can't use the cell phone. I keep getting static. As we reported on the last podcast to our loyal three listeners, I think we're going down every time we go back
no,
on the.
No, we just got a call. So they're not listening today because they got things to do. So
there you go.
But other than that, they'll.
But as them. We talked about on the last podcast, that they a school opened up. It has a capacity of 500, 250 kids registered, but only 123 showed up. Well, so, still a mess down there. And of course, since we have, a drunken coward in power and
drunken.
We basically,
in
the Congress, we have people that aren't much better. Don't expect to see a lot of progress here or in Iraq or anywhere, but, an issue that we've been talking about on the blog that's generated many, many comments and posts and an uproar.
A little bit of hate.
Yeah. Three or four times the amount that our posts normally generate.
so
or actually times zero.
So
I
that'd
guess
be
I
what,
say,
three or four then?
I could say 100, really. Because like,
nobody, because the seven people that listen just don't know.
But there was, okay, Hillary Clinton, who happens to exist. And she also is, well, everyone knows she's running for the presidency.
You know, I'm thinking I'm probably going to vote for her. We're way needing a shakeup, and who better? You know, I could say, no, who better? Was that Jane Chandler? But no, really, though. I think we're way overdue for a woman at that level of government. And
I don't like her.
I mean, I know you're not.
I don't like her for a lot of reasons.
I know you don't like. I know you don't like the Hillster.
Let's
cause,
add
because she's not the loving, you know, Sharon Karen kind of mom that she should have been to Chelsea,
who?
The international. Lady.
Hillary. I could care less about that.
But you know, she's not maternal.
No,
but,
I don't care about that.
When she was president a little while ago,
I don't like her for the most. Traditional of reasons.
Yeah.
She sucks on the issues.
She sucks what?
And
on
also,
issues.
She is a... I'm not going there. You try all you want.
You just said she sucked on the issues, and I said, well, what was that? If you've got issues, use a tissue. But anyway, back to Hillary.
So, if she was a man or a Martian, her politics suck. And the other thing that scares me about any Clinton, and also anybody who is... has the support of their whole cabal of strategizers and opinionizers and pollsters is the idea of triangulation. Now, Hillary, we have to admit, had a much better outlook, even though she was affiliated with the horrible abomination against democracy, the DLC. She did have some pretty good views, obviously, on women's issues and healthcare and other issues.
Right.
But what has happened is because she's now revving up for a run, and the traditional political thinking is that if you can't win in Peoria, if you can't win in Ohio, if you can't win in the if you can't move to the middle, you don't got a shot. That's one of the reasons why they tried to swift boat, or at the time they didn't have that term, but one of the reasons they tried to sink Dean was they thought that if he would have won the nomination, he would have been too, quote, liberal for the rest of the country. And
electability.
And it would have been an assured defeat.
Electability. That really worked last time, didn't it?
Yeah, it really worked. I'm glad we had such an electable candidate in John Kerry.
So this segue to the center with Hillary.
What are you getting at, John? I saw this on State Line, and I've since seen it on TalkingPointsMemo.com, DailyCoast.com. Everybody is talking about it. Actually, one blogger said, I can't even comment on this. It sickens me so much.
Yeah, it's a little pathetic.
So Hillary has decided to co-sponsor a anti-flag burning amendment. And here's the deal.
I don't know if it's an amendment. It's just a law.
Just a law. Okay. Yeah. Anti-flag burning law. Here's the deal. Let's just take the whole flag burning issue out of there. Let's assume that America is all pro. I don't know how to say pro anti-flag burning. They're all opposed to flag burning, which is right. True. All the numbers polls. No one is really excited about flag burning, and no one's particularly even that excited about the freedom to burn a flag. There are so many freedoms in this country that are being denied, which are life and death.
It's not a daily issue.
The freedom to burn a flag is not something that's a hot button issue. But the reason this disgusts everyone, and Hillary knows it, and her strategizers know it, that the Republicans, bring up the flag burning issue because it's a good score for those. A lot of people get excited and patriotic about the flag, and it seems like an easy no-brainer. The corporate
Mickey Mouse walking across the street would be a big issue for the Republicans right now because they, one thing we failed to mention today was Republican corruption. Well, we'll just leave that term right there and just say anything the Republicans bring up now to put the shade back over there.
Right.
Their corruption, and they're going to bring it up, and this is one of those
issues.
That's
the thing about the flag burning issue.
The Christmas tree issue. Cut the crap.
Yeah, they want to talk about the attack on Christmas or flag burning or gay marriage because the truth of the matter is that they don't have to find jobs for people that way. They don't have to balance the budget. They don't have to make sure that old ladies aren't freezing to death. They can talk about flag burning, and it's a win-win thing. And many Democratic politicians know that it's an unsavory free expression issue. But the truth of the matter is,
even Antonin Scalia said the same thing.
You know, most politicians know that go ahead and vote for the law to ban flag burning. Go ahead and vote. I mean, progressive people aren't going to hold your balls to the fire over this. It's a small issue, the Supreme Court's going to shoot it down. But Hillary decided to co-sponsor the bill because she wants to cash in. She wants to be able to go to NASCAR America, who hate her and think she's a Martian who had, you know, somebody assassinated because she was having an affair, and then she's whitewater and this and that. I mean, so...
they had to do some digging for that stuff, though. Not to get you off track, but they had to do some real digging for that.
But the thing about it is that...
Vince Foster and all.
This is... the most cynical, sleazy pandering.
Blatant.
You know? And the Republicans do this so that they can go back to their constituents who are unemployed and don't have health care and kids attend horrible schools, and they can say, I voted to make flag burning illegal, and they can go, yay! And so this is exactly what a Clinton is doing. She is moving to the center, she's moving for moderate, and she's adding this little token to her belt so she can say, I co-sponsored the bill to outlaw flag burning. And this is
who else is on the bill, do you know?
She's the only Democrat. She's the only Democrat co-sponsor of this bill.
No kidding.
Because the Democrats realize it's a totally cynical thing.
It is a toady issue.
And the most conservative Democrat who will vote for it and hold Old Glory high will tell you that.
Would that be Joe Lieberman?
Is he any longer
a Democrat? Sorry.
Rage. You just choked me with rage. I'm choking on my own rage right now.
Are you choking with patriotic mucus right now? Or is
oh, it... something.
Well, Joe Lieberman actually moved over to the Republican camp, didn't he?
Well, we can go into Lieberman. He's a whole piece of work.
He's a whole shoal, I guess.
Yeah, but even the most conservative Democrat realizes that, you know, okay, but, you know, don't we have more important things? Terry Schiavo, this is a Terry Schiavo moment. Yeah. I mean, this is just like, you know...
It just pisses me off just the... how the Democrats just allow the right to drive this boat into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Can a boat be driven into the ground? But anyway,
it can be. A swift boat can beat a swift boat.
I'm mixing my metaphors. The Democrats allow this overwhelming control of the issues. They can. It's just the party of confusion and delusion. And the Republicans are the party of corruption and collusion. Yeah, I have a whole big thing on that. But anyways, they just the Democrats on every friggin' level of government, just in politics, just allow the right to, okay, what's the next issue we have to defend ourselves from? Now today it's flags. Yesterday it was Christmas trees. A couple of weeks ago it was, you know, several weeks ago it was Terry Schiavo. A couple of weeks ago it was the Iraq War.
I'm going to disagree
with
you.
And now it's Katrina.
I'm going to disagree with you.
I'm with you. I don't know what the trends you're talking about, but okay. On what level?
I agree with your sentiment, but I think that there's actually a little bit of, there's a little disclaimer. Like, I don't really think that Democrats always let the right wing. Well, here's the thing. I think what way I feel about it is that Democrats have accepted as a strategy, particularly those who have been elected and are careerists,
right,
that the appropriate way to deal with a controversial issue is to not have a position on it. Well, and that's what I think you're saying is that, you know, the Republicans realize, wait, these cowards, they won't say yay or nay. So
they're just going to lay down. So, and that's all. It's just
so here's the thing is if you ask a politician and say you're pro, let's say you're like Gallison, you're pro property tax.
Hey, wait a minute. And we'll be stepping outside. Folks, we're going to go off the air for a couple minutes. And we'll step outside, me and John here.
And so you say...
I'm like Gallison, the fact that I breathe air.
Okay.
That's about it.
What I meant is let's say that you are a Gallus Republican. Don't confuse me.
Gallus Danderson Republican.
My memory is 12 seconds long. So let's say...
you and the cat.
So let's say that you are...
I'm with you. Go ahead. I'll let you color me that way.
So let's say that you're, you know, pro property tax and you, let's say you're anti income tax. Okay. Right. And you're talking to a politician and you say, so how do you feel about the income tax? Yay or nay? And they give you some non-answer. Right. You know what you're going to walk away thinking? This guy's for an income tax.
Yeah.
Now let's say another person who wants the income tax and to do away with the property tax, and they ask a politician, how do you feel about the income tax? And they give you a non-answer. That guy's going to walk away thinking, oh, you're against the income tax.
Yeah.
When someone, you ask them a question, they give you a non-answer, you think that you always assume the worst.
So
what I'm saying about these Democrats is the policy of if there's a controversial issue, don't take a side.
Equivocate
the hell out of it and don't take a side. Most people walk away thinking, oh, the worst possible scenario.
Right.
Had you taken a side, you might have only pissed off half the people.
Right.
But not taking a side, you end up pissing off just about anyone.
Yeah.
And what it does to your – what is the Karl Rove strategy? The Karl Rove strategy is very simple. You take your opponent's strongest issue. So for John Kerry, what is his strongest issue? He was a war vet.
Right.
You take his strongest issue and
break
you attack him on that. That's the Karl Rove strategy, period.
But that's fine for that. But you look at Reed, Pelosi, when they take a stand on things, and this is, we can harken back to the Democrats on the state and local level here, eating their young. The DLC went back and just, any Democrat that had a stand on anything, like you just said,
right.
They got ripped a new one. So how are they going to...
Or stabbed in the back by a Joe Lieberman Democrat.
Joe Lieberman. Hey, oh, no, we'll stay the course, my nuts.
Well, there's
a
quote from Joe Lieberman this morning.
So you're going to piss 10 people off instead of 100. Even if you piss 100 people off, let me tell you something. That issue was now on the table, and instead of having Rush, Ass, Sist, Limbaugh throwing rocks at you, get the issue on the table.
Well,
and don't let the Republicans drive... everything.
Well, I think
they drive everything.
Well, I think what the Democrats are learning now that they're in the minority and headed for worse minorities is they realize that the DLC, the kind of don't take a position on conservative or controversial issues, was even a losing strategy when they're in the majority. And when you're in the minority, it's just not an option.
Yeah.
And one of the but
as long,
here's
as, long
where,
as they can make campaign contributions,
here's the thing.
Going back to the
well,
DLCC.
That's the other thing. If you want to come out
if
against
you're a
corporations,
money maker, they're going to back it. The first thing they ask is what can, when Paul Hodes was trying to get the when he was on the Democracy for America list there, one of the first questions they asked him is, can you raise money? Are you fucking nuts? Can you raise money? Is he electable? Is the guy electable? The guy's one of the smartest guys on the planet, certainly in New Hampshire, certainly to run in the Democrat Party for anything.
Right.
And they're saying the first question they're going to ask him is, can you raise money?
Right.
How about getting the guy on the ballot?
Yeah.
How about that and letting the people decide?
But the thing about it is, too, is that I agree with you that the Republicans seem to drive the issues because of the fact that if it is a controversial issue, the Democrats' traditional, conventional strategy was to not take a position. So what that allows is that anyone who's willing to take a position, anyone who's willing to fly home from vacation to go see Terry Schiavo, they get to set the policies. The Democrats want to talk about the unions. They want to talk about workers' rights and stuff like this.
And the unions, they keep slapping the unions in the face.
And the Republicans want to talk about flag burning and gays getting married and Terry Schiavo. Now, Terry Schiavo blew up in their face, but they were thinking under their what had worked for them in the past that Terry Schiavo would have been a big, beautiful distraction for everyone. And the media would have loved it because here's this dying woman. And then they could have looked like martyrs, and then people would still be going, children would still be going to bed hungry and stupid, because they don't got food and they don't got no education.
Right.
But what I agree with you on that, that that old strategy, which is hopefully a dead dinosaur, but I disagree.
Still breathing a lot of life, my brother.
Well,
yeah, well, take the unions. You just mentioned the unions.
Yeah.
AFL-CIO and the SEIU just split recently.
Mm-hmm.
SEIU was so pissed off because they keep the AFL-CIO keep funneling so much money to these Democrats who are supposedly trying to help them out,
right.
And why don't we just look and see what NAFTA did first off in the first 5 years to the state of New Hampshire, mm-hmm. let alone the country, 4 million lost jobs directly related to NAFTA, jobs will never have again. But the money that these unions funneled into these Democrats that are supposed to try to help these unions out, that said they were going to help the unions out, these Democrat politicians kept stabbing the unions in the back. Now the SEIU said, hey, screw this. We're going to go off on our own.
Right. We're not going to waste our money.
That's it.
We're not going to send our money to Washington when we could be recruiting new people.
Recruiting new people here.
And that was the primary divide.
And sending our union workers to better schools, to be better in those industries that they're in.
But you're exactly right. The traditional AFL-CIO wanted to continue their traditional operations, which is, as any political person will tell you, it's a gamble. You either get a Democrat and you win something, or you get a Republican and you lose everything.
And you hope you have a job.
What the new unions were doing, who were taking a very different approach in everything they were doing, was they're like, no, we're not sending our money to Washington anymore to screw around on this maybe win, possibly lose everything. We want to put our money into having more union members.
Yeah.
And that's where they broke. And there was a good post on the blog. You guys will have to scroll back at theliberalpatriot.blogspot.com and look for that.
I love those guys.
But like I said, I agree with you partially on what you're saying of letting the Republican by not having. Oh, well, first of all, a lot of people don't like politics and don't care about it.
Yeah, they're oblivious.
To get people to vote, you got to kind of get them excited, and to get people to like contribute and to work for you, you got to get them like set them on fire. And the Democratic policy, the conventional Democratic policy of controversial issues, not taking a stand on. There's another reason. Not only do they not want to piss people off, that would be somewhat altruistic, but really the other reason is that if you don't have stands on critical issues, controversial issues, not having positions makes it easier to take money from corporations.
If you
don't take a stand on gun control, yeah, it's easier to take money from the gun lobby. If you don't take a stand on NAFTA or CAFTA or for unions, it's easy to take corporate money. So that's another thing, is that the DLC found out is like, hey, it's easier for us to take money from pharmaceuticals, from HMOs, from everyone. If we don't believe in anything, they can just pay us to do whatever they want us to do, and then we go do it.
Well, me, I'm an independent. I suffer occasionally from self-abnegation, and I'm going to make a stand here. I would support a modest income tax, and I would also support not support any anti-union measures. So this is a message to Paul Lamoran from AFSCME and Jerry Coulomb from PACE over in Berlin, and Bill Potter from PACE in Groveton. And I know these guys listen to us. I know they do.
Everyone does.
That's right, absolutely. So this, as far as taking a stand, that's where I'm at. And you talked about trying to get a base. Let me tell you something. We talked about this earlier. I have absolutely jack crap to start from. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. That's what the cat's over here to do. But not having a base and working from nothing is basically where the Democrats are going right now. Also, they have so disenfranchised so many of their party faithful that you don't see a lot of these people holding Democrat signs up in front of the town hall on voting day, and it's too bad. You know, there's a lot of folks there. It's the biggest It's the biggest portion of the electorate, and both parties are totally dissing these people, right. And it's a shame.
Well, the Republicans have the willingness to sell their political power to the highest bidder,
yeah.
So they have a tremendous amount of money. Plus, right. They're willing to serve the small portion of the population that makes over a million or a couple million in income a year. So they have an enormous advantage with their fiscal. The Democrats, well, and also one of the things that Republicans are willing to do is they are willing to take stands on controversial issues. So,
well, that's with the 14% of the radical right evangelical Christians,
you combine,
Christian clerics that they have. So,
you combine those two strategies with suppressing voter turnout,
yep.
And that's how you win elections.
Speaking of suppressing voter turnout, how's James Tobin making out with the over $1 million that the Republican National Committee is kicking in? He went to trial yesterday. They picked a jury and they had open comments yesterday. James Tobin is the guy that helped out to suppress voter turnout on the Democrat side. And Judd Gregg, as a matter of fact, he's my new buddy. Did I tell you I met him yesterday?
Yeah.
He's my new pal.
You were very impressed by his manliness.
I was very impressed by his patriotic mucus. Was that Danderson sticking out his ass? I can't remember. Anyway, even Judd Gregg said for the Republican National Committee to spend well over $1 million on trying to protect someone who, in essence, broke the law, the most basic tenets of our democratic process in disallowing people to vote. Judd Gregg himself said that that's a shame. That money should not be spent there.
Judd Gregg is such a small player in the Republican National Republican Party. Or he's a liar because...
condone it because the guy he's sitting next to down there, John Sununu, the guy that got elected.
It's nice for him to say that and pretend, but either he doesn't know or he's lying that this guy Tobin has connections to Abramoff.
Oh, sure,
and that was
something
that Kathy Sullivan and others in the state party had tried to make a big deal. A lot of people are like, hey, phone jamming, why is this a big... Well, this is bad, punish a couple guys, but why is this a big deal? Because... the Democrat, the former governor...
Benson?
No. The Lynch? One who ran that time.
The former Governor Lynch?
No.
No, he's the current governor guy.
No, the lady who ran that time?
Oh, Shaheen.
Shaheen. I couldn't remember
her name. Some people think she's still in. You think she knows she's... What's her name?
But the amount that he suppressed the vote by that scam would not have been enough.
Wouldn't have turned it over, no.
Turned it over. So... The Democrats in the state have tried to keep this issue in the public eye, yeah. And one of the things that I've found nationally on the blogs is that he actually had connections to Abramoff, and that this may be part of the large nationwide like scandal and corruption.
Well, I know this is being watched, but one thing I think Kathy Sullivan needs to change her tune. And Kathy, I know my Christmas card is on its way to you probably as we speak, but she needs to change her tune, saying I want answers. She should say, the people deserve answers.
I think she said that.
No, she said, I want answers. Oh. I want these answers. I deserve these answers. She deserves Jack Abramoff. No, she deserves answers too, because she's a voter in this state. But I think her omnipotence needs to be knocked down just a whisker, and her and Jane Clemens both. I threw them a bone last week. I'm not going to do it this week. I think she needs to change it from I want answers to the public, and the public rightly deserves answers. Through this judicial process,
I think what's most important to know is that the Democrats have a losing strategy,
yep.
And that's pretty apparent. Now, why do the Republicans? And this is where I disagree with you on
mm-hmm.
is that I think we should be very careful. They say be careful what you wish for.
Bring up the issues, dude. Bring them up. Bring them on.
Be careful what you wish for.
Bring it on.
Because if we say that we don't like such and such Democrat going out and running his mouth. Or, I saw this in a good post on Daily Kos. You know, people complain all the time the Democratic Party doesn't stand for anything on Iraq, or the Democratic Party doesn't stand for anything on this. Well, the thing about it is, about the Democratic Party, is you have lots of different positions within each issue.
Right, sure.
And we have to be careful about demanding that the Democrats be like the Republicans in the sense the thing about it is, if the Democratic Party decides their position on the war is going to be X,
right.
And then you have some progressive people saying, no, I want it to be the
right.
We don't want the kind of lockstep that they have.
I totally agree.
And so I think that there should be party unity, but there should also be enough leeway for Democrats within the party to have their own positions on the issues.
Well, if I get down there, it's going to be tripartisan, not just bipartisan. Right. But anyway, what is the connection between John Lynch,
Sullivan, there was
and Hillary? Is there some sort of...
I don't know of any connection. I don't want there to be any connection. But John Lynch, there was a little article on Stateline blog that said that Hillary had told him in a private conversation that she supports New Hampshire's first in the nation status.
This is another thing. So there is a connection with Kathy Sullivan there.
I don't know.
What are you talking about? You don't know.
I don't know.
Did she say something and you didn't see her mouth move? Or did John Lynch say something and you didn't see his mouth
well,
move?
Well, I only pay attention to that sort of news because I'm against New Hampshire being first in the nation.
That makes two of us. Absolutely.
I think it even hurts New Hampshire Democrats.
I think it does. I think you're right. You know? And for them to say... you know, New Hampshire is the bastion of knock on the doors and this is how you got to get elected type of thing. Did you meet John Kerry last year when he came by? The one time he came through the North Country?
No, I went down to Manchester
Edwards came to Gorham, but that was, of course, 2 years after the election.
I saw John Kerry down in Manchester after the primary and everything.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know if he actually made it up this far.
No, he did. He was around with all the candidates.
Was he? Yeah.
But the thing about it is that here's the Republican strategy.
Not that I went out of my way to meet the guy myself, because he was definitely not the electable guy that I wanted to see.
Here's something
to
remind
me. Damn sure hope that the Democrats...
I actually did vote for the $87 billion before I voted against it.
And what the hell kind of response is that guy?
he should have his head examined. But the point of the matter is that here's a Republican strategy. Like, why do Democrats... Like I said, I agree with you that Democrats try to have a non-position position on controversial issues. Maybe that was a conceivable strategy when you're in the default majority.
Right.
Like Republicans around here, they don't have to do much. They're just going to win.
Well, the two that we have in State Rep District 1 there, Stoll and King, get an R and a D.
But the thing about it is that when you're in the minority, I think they're finally starting to realize, or some of them, that the leadership, at least, is finally starting to realize that, yes, being a non-position majority party means that you can take corporate donations and union donations.
Tragic.
You know, the unions have to pay you because you're in control. The corporations got to pay you because you want them to pay. They got all the money.
Yeah.
But I think we're seeing a change. I hope we're seeing a change in the leadership. But the real thing I want to talk about is, like, the Republican strategy is very simple and effective. Okay? First of all, you take positions on controversial issues because, as I said, lots of people are going to vote. But you want the crazies to come out and, like, knock on all the doors and to, you know, give you money. And also, they pander, they sell their power. This is why we're having all the corruption scandals. They're selling access to the government to the highest bidder.
Right.
And the highest bidder are the wealthy people.
You got to pay to play.
And the corporations.
You got to pay to play.
And so that's two arms of it.
Is anybody in the Senate not a millionaire on the federal level?
Barack Obama.
He's not a millionaire?
He's not a millionaire.
Really? For real?
Yeah.
Yet?
He's not a millionaire, no.
No kidding.
Because he even though he went to Harvard Law School and went to, he never really like worked for a firm. He pretty much did that and then went on to run. Like he said he was quoted as saying, "I'm part of the smallest caucus in the Senate, the non-millionaires caucus."
Yeah, oh yeah. So, that's even smaller than the Negro caucus that he's in.
Right. But
I don't know where that came from.
I think you're showing your age there a little bit. The colored person's caucus.
I
think it's been changed to people of color now.
People of color.
It's like my grandma.
Oh shit.
I think colored people are just the same as us. It's a grandma. It's African American. Now it's people of color.
Well, Andy Rooney is European American. He wants to make a point of that.
Yeah, Andy Rooney makes a point. He has a point right on top of his head. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is...
Well, mine ain't, because I hang sheetrock, and I got to hold the sheetrock up on myself. So.
But my point is that their strategy is fairly simple. Number one, you know, you sell out access to the wealthiest people, not to the most people. You don't try to please people. You take strong positions on controversial issues to get the crazies to come work for you.
Right.
Now, that's a minority position. If you only have the richest Americans and the corporations and the crazies on your side, you will never win a single election. So you got to combine that, but you got to combine your corporate rich man's strategy, which fills up your coffers full of all the money you want.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got to combine your bring out the crazies to work hard for you strategy with how do we win elections? Because that's a minority. You can have all the money and all the crazies.
Yeah.
You can have people pounding the pavement, but you're not going to win. The third part of that, and I would say fourth if you want to have media, but the third part of that is you suppress the vote.
Yeah,
Republicans easily win when they suppress the vote because they have the crazies out there working for them, knocking on doors, licking stamps, sending out flyers that say Democrats want to ban the Bible. And then they have all the money in the world. But even with those two huge prongs of their strategy and power, the people would defeat it if the people came out.
Well, I would never sell out. You know, I'm not. I don't dabble in that type of poetry. But as far as getting money, like my $292 in my account and Gallus's $14,000 in his campaign account, how do you think I'm going to do? You think I think I'm doing pretty good.
I think you do good.
I think I'm doing damn good.
If the people come out, you'll win. Yeah. If the people stay home or the people don't know.
If it's snowing really hard, you think?
Oh yeah,
I'll win.
No.
No. Do you think if I show up, I'll win?
I think that if...
Do you think I could have a ball? I'm having a ball, but...
I think you need to collect your thoughts.
I need to gather my thoughts. Cassidy wants to let you know he is very excited and comfortable with Christmas and the solstice. And he's got a free sled coming, too, by the way.
Yeah. Add that to your war on Christmas.
Stop us, this one.